In the name of Jesus, amen. Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the war to win and achieve your salvation is the campaign that Jesus fights for you. If Jesus does not fight this war for you, you would not be saved, and you'd somehow have to answer for all your sin on your own, and there's no way that you could ever do that, try as you might. And so for you and for your salvation, Lord Jesus treks to the Garden of Gethsemane, and the battle begins in earnest. Garden. You remember another garden, don't you? Yes, that's right. The Garden of Eden. And that's where our first parents, Adam and Eve, gave in to Satan's lies and brought sin, death, and damnation into the world. And so now the Lord Jesus Christ wants to begin his suffering for your salvation in a garden. And from the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus will be betrayed, arrested, and led out to be hung, that is to say, crucified on a tree, the cross. Hung on that tree, he will make the one and only sufficient payment for the sin of the world, as well as your sin, through the shedding of his Good Friday blood. And by doing that, he will restore the lost purity from Eden's garden, grant forgiveness, life, and salvation, and conquer Satan, your enemy. From Eden's garden, you remember, came God's promise to the seed of the woman that there would be her seed that would crush the head of the serpent. And the enmity between the blessed seed of the woman, Eve, and the seed of the serpent, Satan, was established in the Garden of Eden. And so again, this is precisely why Jesus wants to carry on his salvation of the world job in a garden. His climactic battle against Satan and all his hellish powers begins with utmost seriousness in the Garden of Gethsemane, and your salvation is at stake. The disciples, of course, are of no help in this epic battle for the world's salvation. Oh, there's bold, confident bragging and boasting, especially by Peter. Even if all the others deny you, Lord, I won't. I'll never do it. If I have to die with you, Lord, I will never deny you. But he, together with James and John, they can't even stay awake, let alone pray in the garden. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And once Jesus is arrested, the disciples hightail it and run for their lives, one even in the nude, after he leaves his loincloth behind. Mere men, you and me, and even disciples, are not up to the salvation task. And so it's up to Jesus, who is not just true man, but also the divine Son of God. This is his gargantuan task. Three times we heard tonight, three times, shiveringly terrorized under the immense agony of drinking the cup of his Father's enormous wrath against all sin of every sinner on Good Friday, Jesus faithfully and trustingly prays, "Your will be done, Father." Yes, Jesus gardenly prays this way for you and for your salvation. And now, since it's the dead of night in the garden, Satan goes on the offensive. The devil seeks to take advantage and defeat what appears to be the vulnerable Son of Man in the garden. After all, as I just mentioned, Jesus agonizingly shivers and trembles as he faces the burden of answering for the world's sin, enduring God's wrath, and suffering the agony and fury of hell's damnation that every sinner deserves. But he will take it when he hangs on the tree the next day on the cross. "The hour has come," Jesus says. "The hour of the power of darkness has come." It's a satanic ambush. In this Garden of Gethsemane, the devil, that wicked serpent, slinks around and employs an apostle, a dear friend of Jesus, to treacherously betray him. His name? Judas Iscariot. The apostle, Judas Iscariot, has now become Antichrist because of his love for money. His heart is full of greed. You remember, he was in charge of the money. Remember that? And he loved money more than he loved Jesus. His heart is full of greed, and greed makes people do many wicked things. And so Judas has become Satan's instrument, Satan's feet, Satan's hands, and Satan's mouth for quick cash, for a little profit in his pocket. The satanic in the Garden of Gethsemane bushwhacking takes place with all the might and the force of the Jerusalem deep state, both civil and church. The armed to the hilt SWAT team flanks Judas. His hail, master, traitorous kiss of infidelity is the kiss of Satan. His lips are now Satan's lips, and Satan believes that he can finally defeat Jesus and that you'll all go down with him in the flames of hell. In other words, that the Good Friday salvation job won't get done. The war in the Garden of Gethsemane continues. Peter, in order to put his money where his mouth is, would defend Jesus against this satanic horde from the Jerusalem deep state. He draws his, not a flagpole, his sword, intending to do what? To hack off the head of the high priest's servant. And instead he misses. All he slices off is Malchus's ear. Satan is at work here again. He tries to use the well-intentioned and well-meaning Peter to provoke an all-out melee and brawl. And that would then what? It would provide what? The opportunity for the deep state to blame Jesus for leading a what? A Maundy-Thursday insurrection. To use our language of today, imperiling democracy. And give them at that very moment the excuse to put a knife or a sword in our Lord's back right then and there. And then Jesus wouldn't end up where? Yes, that's right. He wouldn't end up on the cross. And without a Good Friday Jesus answering for all your sin by his crucified body, there would be no salvation for you. And that's exactly what Satan wants to gain from this skirmish. So, for there to be a Good Friday sacrifice for you and for your salvation on the next day, Jesus immediately commands Peter to put his sword away. It's not going to go down that way, Peter. Not even legions of angels from heaven will protect or save Jesus from going to the cross. And so Jesus reaches out to healingly touch the wounded, screeching, full of blood streaming down his face, Malchus, and then reattach the ear. Because Jesus will drink the cup of his Father's wrath against all sin on the cross on the next day. And that then will be the climax of the battle and the war, not on Maundy Thursday, but rather Good Friday. In this Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus does battle against Satan. He does it for you. Where Adam failed in Eden's garden, Jesus does not. His Garden of Gethsemane victory is your victory. He trusts his Father and does his Father's will. And so from the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus goes then to the cross to preach the most important sermon ever preached in the history of the world. And what's that? It is finished. Which means what? All sin is atoned for. Satan is vanquished. Brothers and sisters, it's what he, the Savior, does for you, for your salvation. What joy. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.